This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Well, Well, Well. Tex and Jason here with you this evening from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. A big thank you to the Asian Pop Experiment team for another fantastic and energetic show. But Tex, it's you and I back on air after a little bit of a break.
Well, Jason, it is nice to be back with you, as always. We have been not on air at the same time for a couple of weeks. So, yes, it is gorgeous. Jason, I've got something really special to say to you tonight, and I'm springing this on you. We haven't discussed it.
What is that?
Don't get too excited. I'd just like to remind you, perhaps, and the listener, that today is the 43rd anniversary of the Stonewall riots. And, of course, the Stonewall riots started on the night of the day of the burial of Judy Garland. So if anybody out there who is unknown to the voice of Judy Garland, just go to your favourite search engine and type in Judy Garland and think of Over the Rainbow, Red Shoes and The Wizard of Oz, and you'll be right.
That's right, because I was actually speaking to friends of mine back home in Canada, mm-hmm. and the anniversary of the Stonewall riots ties in with the timing of a lot of Pride festivals in North America.
Indeed, around the world.
And a lot of my friends back home in Toronto are about to kick off their celebrations. So happy Pride to everyone listening via joy.org.au.
Indeed, we said that last week, and it's funny because we were talking about it because on the Full Catastrophe, which is on Saturday nights from 9 till 11 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, a couple of weeks ago, Hikaru and Andy Bell were saying, why don't we have Pride March in Melbourne? Why don't we celebrate Pride March Pride in Melbourne in June? And we were saying, well, Pride March is in around the time of midsummer in our summer, and of course in the Northern Hemisphere at the moment it's summer. And I say that quite ironically because sitting in the studio behind us, pre-recording a program, are Hikaru and Andy Bell, the two people who were going on and on about it. So yeah. It's funny that they're so close and they can't hear us because of the glass wall.
Moving along, Tex, yes. What are we going to be talking about today on the show?
Well, Jason, I believe tonight we're going to be talking about the Gay Community Periodic Survey. This is something which is done over the first week of midsummer each year here in Melbourne. And so we're going to be looking at some of the results of that. As usual, we'll have some HIV and health news. And then later on in the show, we'll have a few snippets of news.
We will indeed. But of course, we'd love to hear from the listener. And there's a range of ways that you can do so. Get in touch with us.
Multitude of platforms, in fact.
Indeed.
We have a real live Jeanette ready to take your call. If you'd like to speak to a real live person, you can speak to Jeanette, 1300 Joy 949. 1300 Joy 949. If you have your fingers hovering over one of your devices, you can send us an email, onair@joy.org.au. Or from your mobile device, you could send us an SMS, 0427JOY949. Or if you're on good old Facebook, you can send us a message via Facebook. You can, in fact, like us via Facebook. Facebook.com/WellWellWellJoy.
Now, we are going to take a break to listen to some lovely music. We've got Robin coming up with Hang With Me. And after the break, we'll be getting straight into the news. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And that was the lovely Robin with Hang With Me.
Is she a single voice, as a single name person like Cher and others?
I'm sure she does have a surname
but
as well.
She sings under
Robin.
Did she do September?
September?
Or is September somebody?
I think it's someone else.
Oh, right, yeah. September is the name of the person.
September is the name of the person, yeah.
Lord, it's silly, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah. Goodness.
It's like now, it's that time of the show when we do our little news desk. We don't have the beep, beep, beep of the news system, but we usually shuffle paper to show that this is a news desk, so There we go. Now, Jason, what's tonight's first story? Something out of the UK, I believe.
It is out of the UK, and tonight's stories come from AIDSMap.com, which is a fantastic source of news and easy-to-digest reports from the latest in research as well on HIV prevention, treatment, and everything in between.
And the thing I really like about it, you say it's pretty easy. It's written in really simple, easy-to-understand language. And, you know, if there's usually an explanation if you don't understand, if there are words there that people are likely not to understand.
Now, the next, the first story off the rank is about treatment as prevention. And it's becoming a hot topic, I guess, in the sector, which is encouraging a debate around whether to encourage people living with HIV to start treatment earlier. Mm-hmm. In theory, that it'll bring down the likelihood of transmissions in the community.
Yep.
Now, some research out of the UK, which was done through some modeling work, suggested that 48% of all new infections and among gay and bisexual men were actually acquired from men with undiagnosed primary HIV infection, which means the early stages of a new HIV infection, and 34% of infections were also from men with long-term undiagnosed infections. So I guess what we're starting to see here is some evidence to kind of maybe suggest why we haven't seen a dramatic decrease in new infections with the advent of anti-HIV medication and large uptake of anti-HIV treatment drugs.
Yeah, and look, they go on to say that the situation as it happens to be in the UK at the moment can possibly provide useful insights into what's possible when other countries actually start expanding their access to anti-HIV treatment, perhaps motivated by the considerations of this treatment as prevention model that is the buzzword of what people are talking about at the moment all around the HIV world, but outside of the HIV world as well.
It's true. I mean, a big kind of cornerstone or the foundation of treatment as prevention relies on people to get diagnosed and then to get onto treatment. But if you look at UK's system, over 95% of people newly diagnosed with HIV are connected with specialist care within the first 3 months. And 87% of people with a CD4 cell count below 350 cells per milliliter are currently on antiretroviral treatment. So as the study suggests, very few other countries have such high levels of treatment uptake.
Yep, now, but then there's a big but in there.
There's a big but there, exactly. Yep. So we're talking about people that have been diagnosed. The problem with the UK is that it's thought that only about 15 to 25% of gay and bisexual men take an HIV test in any given year. Now, given that we generally recommend at least an annual HIV test for sexually active gay men.
Yep.
They're clearly not hitting
really
that
does.
Mark.
It really does. It sounds really strange. And they're saying that the annual number of new HIV infections in any given year in gay and bisexual men have changed very little between 2001 and 2010. Now, they give a figure and say with between 2,000 to 3,000 new infections each year. Now, you know, if we were here in Australia, we'd be thinking, oh my God, what's happening? The sky's falling in. But you've got to look at the comparison of the population of the UK versus the population of people here in Australia. So, you know, yes, it's a lot of people. But it has remained more or less the same over time for quite a long, almost a decade.
Now, I guess this is going to likely pose some serious questions around the approach of test and treat, as it does raise some concerns. There's obviously some merit in that, you know, there's about 17% of infections that originated in men who were diagnosed but not on treatment. And then 7% came from men on treatment. So, you know, I think this is going to perpetuate that long-standing debate and the debate that's kind of ripe here in Australia.
Indeed.
But this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. We'll be back with a little bit more news later. This This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was Lady Gaga with Born This Way. And she will likely be taking the stage momentarily, I'd imagine.
Well, doesn't she have a support act?
She does have a support act, so well, then maybe in an hour or so.
Yeah, she'll probably be hitting the stage in an hour or so. She's she may be hitting the sauce at the moment, who knows?
But I'm sure her little monsters are filled with excitement.
No, that's little monsters are the fans, aren't they?
Yes, yeah. Yes,
and I actually had an email from one of my volunteers who was there last night, and it's been all over Facebook about people who were there last night saying, you know, oh, Gaga, delicious and sensational, and talking about the four-story set and, you know, all those gorgeous things. I said I was green with envy, but only tinged with green because I didn't actually bother trying to get a ticket.
Would you have gone?
Oh,
if a ticket fell
into my hands right now,
I'd be on my own here in studio.
You'd be on your
actually,
own.
Actually, there'd probably be a bit of a cat fight over that ticket, but that's okay.
Indeed.
Now, we did receive a message.
Indeed,
we
got a message from Glenda the cat, although it says Glenda Lee or Glendale. We think it might be a bit of a... Glenda is a cat.
I think it might be an autocorrect problem.
So, yeah, it's possibly. And Glenda's saying, marvellous, great, priceless, superb. Thank you, Glenda.
We love the love.
I have always maintained that I love the fact that a cat can actually press the buttons on a phone.
And she's much more supportive than her owner, isn't she?
Indeed, much more. No photo tonight, though.
No photo, very disappointing.
Of the kitchen with bills on the fridge, no.
Anyhow, but moving right along, we've got another news article.
And this is another one out of AIDS Map.
Indeed.
Great source, AIDSMap.com, where you can get all sorts of stories.
Indeed you can. And we often talk about stuff pertaining to men's sexual health, but this one is for the ladies.
Indeed, it is for women, and it's about research that was conducted in South Africa about the diagnosis of sexually transmitted infections in women.
Indeed. Now, we often talk about the importance of regular testing to pick up asymptomatic infections, but this little bit of research talks about the potential outcomes as a result of asymptomatic infections in women.
Indeed, and we should just say that asymptomatic means that there aren't necessarily any symptoms showing, whereas sometimes there can be a weeping sore or pus or something dripping out of here, there and everywhere.
Or in this case, vaginal discharge.
Indeed, vaginal discharge. When there's asymptomatic will generally mean there are no symptoms actually present whatsoever. So it's whether someone's having a test for whatever reason, whether it's a regular test or a test for a study like this.
Indeed. So what the study found was of all of the women in the study who did test positive for a discharge causing sexually transmitted infection, only 12% of those women actually had any symptoms of discharge.
And the interesting thing about this is the women recruited to the study actually reported that they had multiple partners, and many indeed were sex workers, meaning that they had a high risk for HIV infection.
Indeed. Now, what the study, what the researchers were able to determine was what impact these symptomatic and asymptomatic infections had on the risk of infection with HIV. What they did find was that there was no association for risk with symptoms. However, both asymptomatic and symptomatic infections were associated with an increased susceptibility to HIV infection. What they found was the presence of a discharge-causing STI was associated with a threefold increase in risk of HIV infection, and gonorrhea particularly was especially high, with an increase of almost eightfold in the risk of acquiring HIV. So, I mean, it just comes back to the our same old message of the importance of routine and regular sexual health testing if you are having sexual partners. Casual sexual partners?
Yep. And look, it's as simple as if you're having lots of sexual partners, perhaps a test every 3 months. Having sex every now and then, but not as regularly as that, then perhaps a test every 6 months. But we do recommend that everybody who's having casual sex, gay, straight, whoever, whatever, have a test at least once a year, because once you know, and you can do something about it. And by finding out, you know that you can protect yourself, which is really important to protect oneself, but equally you can protect your partners as well.
That's right. Now, if you want more information on this, we will be posting the links to these articles on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy. And this is Well 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 on Joy 94.9. And as we mentioned earlier at the beginning of the show, we are going to be talking about some recently released data from our annual Melbourne community gay community periodic survey, or what people would probably recognize as being that survey at Midsummer Carnival. That happens at a range of venues as well.
Indeed.
The people that come at you with the little stickers.
Indeed. And when people are at Midsummer Carnival, it's one of the biggest surveys. There's always about 30 people who are out there recruiting. And when gay or bisexual men have actually completed the survey, they are given a red sticker. And they're always given the red sticker so they know they're not going to be bothered again to actually fill the survey in. Occasionally people will have completed it before the carnival, which is quite rare because it's actually not available before the carnival. But sometimes we'll give them a red sticker as well because they obviously don't want to fill it in. But it's really fantastic because heaps of men do. People come up. I've actually coordinated the collection of the survey now for the last three surveys. And I'm used to people coming up and saying, oh, g'day, Tex. It's that time of year again. Yes, I'm here to do the survey. So they won't even wait to be approached by one of the recruiters. They'll come straight over to the stall and say, can I have my copy of the survey? This is a survey I do every year.
Now, what is the survey all about? Who conducts the survey?
It's conducted by the National Centre in HIV Social Research. Duh. What does that mean? Well, it's part of the University of New South Wales, and it's one of the research institutes which puts together the data which helps the work that we do at the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council, but equally in all of the different AIDS and HIV organisations around the country. Because these surveys are indeed done in most of the capital cities around the time of the gay festival, whatever it happens to be. Here in Melbourne, of course, it's Midsummer. In Adelaide, it's Feast. In Sydney, it's around the time of Mardi Gras, although in Sydney they do it twice a year, and they also do it around the time of Sleazeball as well. It happens in Queensland during their annual festival in Brisbane. Can't remember what it's called. So they're the states where it's done every year, in Canberra and in the Northern Territory. I think in Darwin, they do it every two years. And it's dependent, of course, from funding from the various state and territory health departments as to how often it happens.
What I think is really interesting about this particular survey, because I know that many people in the gay community would be quite used to being approached to fill out surveys.
Yep.
What's unique about this one is that it's something that's done every year, and it gives us an opportunity to really identify changes in behavior, in testing behavior, sexual behavior.
And knowledge as well.
And knowledge as well. And as you said, this really helps inform the work that we do to kind of see how things change from year to year.
Indeed. And that is what we say is we're taking a snapshot of this period in Melbourne. And although it's not always exactly the same numbers of men who fill it in, it's always around about the same numbers. And this year, at Midsummer Carnival and in the week after Midsummer Carnival, 2,053 men successfully completed the survey. That's at Carnival itself on Carnival Day, but also in a number of sexual health clinics, two sexual health clinics, one on the south side of town and one on the north side of town, and at a number of venues, sex on premises venues, and a couple of bars as well. So all of those responses are put together. They're all sent back to Sydney and some people do the number crunching and all of that data comes out. So the response rate was 62%.
Which is pretty incredible for a survey.
Yep, and look, when people fill in surveys, sometimes they miss a question, sometimes they miss a page on the survey. But we're going to be looking tonight at what some of the major findings are out of this particular survey this year.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And if you've just joined us, we are talking about the results from the Melbourne Gay Community Periodic Survey, which was held in January.
And I did make a mistake here. Glenda the Cat was actually saying MGPS, the initials for the Melbourne Gay Periodic Survey, perhaps could stand for Marvellous, Great, Priceless, Superb. Thank you, Glenda.
Now, the first little bit of outcomes from the survey actually tie in really well with one of the one of the news articles we talked about earlier, which was around the impact of undiagnosed infections on transmission. Mm-hmm. Now, in the UK, what we found out was that about 15 to 25% of gay and bisexual men had an HIV test in that particular year. So an HIV test in the past 12 months.
Yep.
Now, one of the questions that they ask every year in the survey is about HIV testing and about, obviously, status as a result of those tests. Mm-hmm. What we see here in Melbourne, and this, you know, hasn't changed significantly, is about 91% of respondents have ever had an HIV test. But when you look at how many people have actually been tested in the previous 12 months for HIV, it's at the level of 70%.
Yep. And that's, they ask the question, when, you know, have you had a recent test? And recent in this instance means any time in the last 12 months, or if you like, any time since the last survey was conducted. Yeah. And it's quite a good percentage rate, isn't it?
It is. I mean, especially when you compare it to the situation in the UK. Mm. Now, you know, what is a bit of a concern is the fact that there's about 20% of people that aren't, about 30% of people that aren't going in for their annual HIV test.
Yep.
What reasons, we're not entirely sure. And of course, because this is self-reported, you know, are that 70% of people actually going and getting their test?
Yeah, look, there's always dangers when you're doing, or concerns, perhaps not dangers, but concerns when you're doing a survey that people tick the box they think you want to read. But generally, the recruiters who are actually trying to say to people, you know, answer it as honestly as possible, because if you answer it as honestly as possible, then we get the results. This is anonymous. You know, no one's asking for your name and address. In fact, there's nowhere on the form to put your name and address. All they ask for is a postcode, just to get an idea of whether people live in inner city or outer, you know, the outer suburbs. So there's no identifying stuff on there. When people fill the survey in, they fill the survey in, they put it into a big box, and it just gets all jumbled together.
Well, just to give people an idea of, you know, what that testing has been doing, yep, over time, you know, there's been a slight increase in the proportion of men ever tested, but the testing rates for HIV in the previous 12 months have actually stayed relatively stable since in the last 5 years.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's an ever so simple gradient of going up, but we're talking about, if we look back in 2008, it was 86%. This year it was 88%, so it really hasn't. In fact, it's you know, nearly 89%. It really hasn't increased with any markable difference.
Now, in terms of HIV status as a result of that testing, what we have seen over the past 4 years is a slight, very, very slight increase in the proportion of men that were reporting that they were HIV negative, mm-hmm, instead, as a result of a decline in men stating that they have not had the results. Mm-hmm. So what we see is about 89% of respondents saying that their test result was HIV negative, and 2.3 did not have the results.
No, and we had a report of this. The main reporter came from Sydney to Melbourne this week and talked about it, and he said, you know, we're not quite certain why people are saying that they haven't got results. Perhaps they, as this is done so early in the year, perhaps they had their test before Christmas and they haven't gone in to pick up the results, mm-hmm, yet. Or perhaps there are people who are, and I have heard of people who have the test and then think, oh dear, what shall I do? Or the old shit moment. Mm-hmm. I'm just not going to go back.
Yeah. And, you know, the issue of not going back for results, and also the fact that we haven't really had much increase in the proportion of men getting tested in the past 12 months, when that is what we actually recommend, you know, is this more evidence to suggest that rapid testing technologies would maybe assist us in improving, yep, some of that? You know, I've got a particular view around.
Indeed, and just to very quickly to explain what rapid testing means, as the name suggests, it's a test at the moment, and I believe, Jason, it's a test where they do the test saliva.
There's technologies that look at saliva, and there's also technologies that use finger prick.
Yep, a finger prick of blood. And then the result from that particular rapid test is available usually within 20 minutes. If the test comes back positive, then the person is sent off to have the standard HIV test just to find out that it really is positive so that they can have the counselling associated with that and being told the implications. But the rapid test is, as the name suggests, they are available. Oh, heck, almost anywhere except Australia.
You kind of get that impression. Yeah.
They're being tested at the moment by the Therapeutic Goods Administration, and we are expecting that they will be released relatively soon.
Well, the results of those trials with the TGA will probably be released, you know, in the next 12 months or so.
Yeah.
But, so that's a little bit of interesting data from the periodic about testing and status. Mm-hmm. But we've got a little bit of a music to listen to.
Who have we got now?
We've got LaRue. It's
LaRue. Not Danny, but just LaRue.
Just LaRue. Right. With Bulletproof. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was LaRue with Bulletproof. And if you're just joining us, we are talking about the results from this year's Melbourne Gay Community Periodic Survey.
Indeed.
Now, before the break, we were talking about some trends in HIV testing rates and the results based on those, those HIV tests. Now, also earlier, we talked about treatment uptake among HIV-positive individuals in the UK. And that is the next little highlights reel we've got from the periodic this time.
Yep. Just remembering that the periodic survey is conducted with men who have sex with men, if you like, gay and bisexual men, although most of the men who actually fill in the survey actually tick the box that says gay. They have a whole range of options of what they can tick, but the main one that they tick is to say that they are gay identifying.
That's right. Thank you, Tex. Now, as we mentioned before, as a result of the HIV test, about 9% of respondents identified that they were HIV positive. Now, what we've seen in the past 10 years is that there's been an increase in uptake of antiretroviral treatment, so anti-HIV medication over time, but it has been stable since 2010. And that means about almost 80% of people living with HIV who filled out the survey, were on treatment.
Yeah.
Now, of those who were on treatment, 9 out of 10 of them reported an undetectable viral load. So that means the amount of virus in their blood was below the detectable limits of available technology. Testing technology.
Which is really interesting. Now, there's also as I said, we had someone come down from Sydney who talked about the results of this and sort of took us through the results step by step, and they talked about one of the questions that a question they ask in Sydney. They don't actually ask this question in the Melbourne survey, but it's quite interesting because it's a question which is asked of HIV positive men in the Sydney Gay Community Periodic Survey, and this is from the survey they did in August, which is around the time of Sleazeball, and they actually asked people, what were their reasons for not being on antiretroviral therapy or anti-HIV drugs?
So this is essentially of those 20%,
yeah,
who identified that they weren't on treatment.
And people gave a variety of results, but the number one answer they gave was, my test results show that I don't need treatment. I don't need anti-HIV treatment.
And the second and third, tied for second and third, were, I don't need to be on treatment because I'm healthy, and my doctor advised against treatment at the moment.
Yeah.
And those three kind of seem to be...
they have a similarity.
There's a similarity. It's likely as a result of discussions happening with their doctor,
yep,
who indicate that their test results show that they don't need treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the context of trying to encourage people to get on treatment through that testing as treatment as prevention model... Obviously, there's some hesitancy from doctors, HIV specialists, in approaching that.
Yeah, and I mean, that's interesting in itself. It's really good that we have, if you like, a large number of HIV-positive men who are acknowledging they talk to their doctor, though. They're actually saying, you know, I do chat with my GP, and my GP has advised in this instance that I actually don't need to go on. Now, I don't need to go on the treatments. Now, there are very small percentages for the next three answers, which are people who are saying, well, I don't go on treatment because I'm concerned about side effects. Other people saying, I don't want to jeopardize any future treatment options that may be available to me. And again, a very low percentage of people saying, look, I'm just not willing to go on treatment.
And that's fair enough.
Yep.
It needs to be something that that the individual is willing to do.
Hmm.
Now, we are going to take a short little break. We've got some messages and a little bit more music. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Tomorrow here on Joy 94.9 on Friday Drive, David and Sue will be calling the winner of our major Radiothon prize. It's valued at over $35,000. Now, you don't want to miss out on the announcement, and perhaps you could be the one getting that all-important phone call on Friday Drive. Oh, toot toot, beep beep. Will it be you? Tune in from 4 p.m. here on Joy 94.9 to find out. And then on Sunday, we suggest that you sit back and relax and perhaps reflect on 15 years of smooth sounds and great radio. That's this Sunday as Alan Ross signs off for his final Cafe Latte show on Joy, starting at 3 p.m, so from 3 to 5 p.m. I've been listening for almost all of those 15 years. I'll be devastated. We all have a favourite Cafe Latte moment, so let's share one together this Sunday as we tune in for some great music, highlights, and more on the final Cafe Latte show. Plus, of course, we're just days away now. It's coming really quickly from the end of the financial year, so it's a perfect time to make your tax-deductible donation to Joy. See the website joy.org.au to make your online tax-deductible donation today and keep supporting Australia's only lesbian and gay radio station, Joy 94.9.
I'd be rich.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was the Bare Naked Ladies with If I Had a Million Dollars.
The Bare Naked Ladies.
Bare Naked Ladies.
A great name for a band. Group.
And guess where they're from?
Canada.
Yeah.
I knew that was going to be the case. We had a message while that particular song was happening, and it was from Nurse James, a regular listener, saying, great show, guys. Stay warm as toast. Well, I can assure you, James, here in the studio, we're definitely warm as toast.
Indeed we are. But now we've got one last little bit of info that we want to squeeze out from the periodic survey results.
The Melbourne Gay Community Periodic Survey. And this is just the bit about where do men meet their male sex partners? And on the survey, this is asking a question, where have you met your male sex partners in the last 6 months? Now, the most common ways for people who completed this survey to meet their partners...
Knitting group?
No.
No?
Not at the library either, and not the book club. It's actually via the internet and mobile phones. In fact...
mobile phones, how on their mobile phones?
Well, mobile phones through mobile phone apps.
Ah.
Now, that could be things like Grindr, Growler, Scruff, those sorts of terms for the different... you know, the different
smartphone apps.
And there's been quite an increase. Now, last year was the first year they asked that question about mobile phone apps. And last year it was 24%. This year it shot up to 35% of the people completing the survey. So if you you look at looking through the internet through different gay chat sites like Gaydar and the Light, which is 39% of men. I mean, the majority of people who are filling in this survey, or really strong trend, is to say that people are going online or they're using a mobile phone app or a smartphone app.
Indeed. I think, I'd imagine that even if you'd ask that same question now, halfway through the year, the proportion would likely have increased as well, just with, in terms of how many people are actually smartphone owners. Mm-hmm. So that ownership of smartphones has gone up exponentially in the past couple of years. And even traditionally web-based sex sites, like, mm-hmm. you know, everyone's well aware of some options.
Sorts of names,
yeah. Those are actually picking up on the application craze, mm-hmm. or even optimizing their website so that people can access them on their smartphones as well.
Oh,
so,
of course, indeed.
I think it'll be interesting to see how this one progresses. But how do you respond to that? I guess, you know, when people are no longer or declining rates of people picking up in physical sites.
It's not that people are not attending places, like 31% of men are finding their partners in gay bars, for example. Mm-hmm. It's who's to say that men go to the gay bar with their mobile phone and then use one of those location devices to press the button, how many gay men are near me? There's 150 gay men in the bar, 149 people are near me.
I do find that really, really entertaining when you go to the, like, out in the smoker's yard, mm-hmm. and you see people just sitting out, standing around with their phones in hand looking at who's around on Grindr. I wonder where the gay men are.
Yes, indeed. Mm. But look, numbers were down across the board. Dance party really down. The numbers are starting to drop down as for sex on premises venues. They're certainly dropping significantly for people who are meeting at beats and private sex parties. And even there are people, they say, where do you find your sex partners? They include other Australian cities and overseas as well. And indeed, both of those numbers are dropping as well. Mm. So yeah, it's quite interesting that, you know, that's the sort of
how we connect is changing.
How we connect is changing.
But now, Tex, I'm afraid I'm gonna have to cut you off right there because time has come to an end.
You're kidding. Is it the end of the show, Jason?
It is the end of the show.
Oh, well. I could say very quickly, next week on the show, Adam and I will be talking with David O'Keefe from the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society, and we're going to be talking about how prostate cancer affects gay men and a new study which is just being done out of the research centre. So,
sounds exciting.
David, who has been in the studio before, will be coming in again to talk to us. What song are we going out with tonight, Jason?
We're going out with a bit more Canadiana, Fixing the Thrill. I thought it was fitting because we've got Hide and Seek coming up next.
Oh, indeed, with Dean and Andrew the Apprentice. Big hello to Harry, to Warren, to Wayne, and to my neighbour Deb. Anyone for you?
I'll say a big hello to Glenda and to Nurse James for messaging in this evening.
Indeed. We'll be back next week, 8 o'clock here on Joy 94.9. Stay warm. We will too. Cheerio, people. Bye-bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.